my.
Oh, my.
Oh, my. Ken, we're at it again. Can
we
you
are, man.
It? I can't believe it. Seems like just, what, an hour ago? It's been a whole freaking week.
Yeah. 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 It's crazy times.
Yeah. And, you know, once again, I want to say, I want to say, because we ate before we started,
yeah.
And, which is unusual, because typically
yeah.
we'll get started and then eat.
And then eat,
and
yeah.
you can hear our stomachs. If you listen real close to the past episodes, I want yeah. everybody to go download the past episodes. If you listen real close, you can hear...
You can hear stomachs growling.
Yeah, that's right.
And now you hear it going,
Yeah. Boy, that was good. We ate at the dog. Of course, we are at our home for male encounters of the life kind, which yeah. is Traeger's. In beautiful Farmington, New Mexico, and they have this wonderful little place right outside there where they cook dogs,
yeah.
D-A-W-G dogs.
The dogs.
But there's they also have all kinds of stuff. I had chili yeah. cheese fries.
There's a patio out here.
Yeah, nice little patio.
They have tables and
nice
chairs
and cool out there right now. This is the best time of year to go and to get...
I know.
To get involved with that. But you can check them out online too, TraegersBar.com, see all their stuff.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that was
really
so good. Yeah, so now instead of
hearing, I had a pizza dog this time.
That looked good.
I've been trying to kind of go the rounds, you know?
Get try. And
yeah.
That's you're not that way typically, are you?
No.
You're one guy, one item kind of guy.
Yeah, once I find something I like, then that's what I eat for the rest of my life.
Yeah. Well, I've had two or three. They've had their sliders. I know you've had their sliders.
Yeah, the sliders are really good.
Had their sliders. I've had their wings. Oh, my God, their wings.
I didn't do the wings yet.
Oh, their wings are good, too. I had the hot ones. They have, I think, four different kinds.
But, yeah, yeah.
But then all the dogs. They've got, and they can use brats
something.
For some of them.
There was like lime something wings?
Yes.
What is that?
Chili lime, yeah.
Chili lime. Yeah. That sounds super good,
yeah.
man.
Yeah. I just had the regular buffalo. I'm kind of a buffalo kind of guy.
Oh, yeah. Those are always good.
Yeah. Well, you can't go wrong.
No.
But I haven't gone wrong with anything I've had there so far.
Mm-mm.
Some of it I've liked more than others. I'm not going to lie. But all of it has just been.
Yeah.
So now you're going to listen, because I had beans. Well, chili. not beans, but chili. So you're either going to hear stomach grumbling instead of
right
or farting. One of the, I don't know.
Chili cause you to fart?
It does. Yeah, it gives me gas.
You know, chili doesn't do that to me, but we eat salads almost every single night.
Oh, yeah. Roughage
and the
do
greens,
that.
Man.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Roughage will do that.
I understand why cows are, like, really severely interrupting our ozone.
Yeah. They're real gaseous.
I end
okay.
up as
She's
another
opening
cow.
The thing, I think.
She is. There's a garage door here.
Yeah.
We've never pointed it out that I know of, but there is. So there's this huge garage door that goes from the bar right out to the patio.
Yes.
It's
can
cool.
you smell? We've had some rain. I can smell the wind.
I know.
I love New Mexico air. Northwest New Mexico, the plateau.
You know.
When it rains. Oh.
I forgot about that smell.
Yeah,
because
nothing like it.
I moved away and I joined the Air Force. And so anyway, when I was coming back, it was like 2003. And I'm rolling. I'm driving down I-40. Coming all the way from Georgia.
Georgia.
And so... Coming all the way from Georgia, and I stopped at some point just to get off on the side of the road and let Molly out and pee and whatever. And so as soon as I opened the door, that smell just hit me like a wall.
Yeah.
Just the sage and everything.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, holy crap.
I'm home.
Yeah. I'm back. Like, that. It's not anywhere. I mean, there's a couple other places. But when you go east, it's nowhere. It is nowhere.
I mean, there's nice aromas. I lived in Louisiana.
Yeah.
Nice, but it's
yeah,
not
it's
the
different.
Same. Yeah.
yeah, it's totally
when it,
different.
When it rains there, it's not, and it's a nice rain. That's a.
Yeah.
Those are downpours. We get
right.
We don't get rains here like you do. Although the past couple of days we have.
I know.
But I called them and said, "Hey, you can have your weather back. I think we've got enough."
That's
up
why
the
I
reservoir.
Told them when I moved back here. So the time frames in that. 2004, I remember, because I started dating a girl up in Durango. She had a boat, and she was always checking the water levels. So in 2004, that spring, Navajo Lake came up 80 feet.
Wow.
Came up 80 feet just in the one spring. And so, but I had just come back that year before, like the midsummer, close to fall, something like that. I just come back in 2003, and then all winter long, there's all this water. And so the spring comes, and the lake just starts filling up, like massively filling up. And I was like, you're welcome. Because, because I came from the coastal area of Georgia, and every single day without fail, it was, you could time it. It would just, it would roll in, it would rain for like an hour, and it would roll back out. It was so awesome. Yeah. You know, and I lived in the swamp. Yeah. So that's why I told him I brought the water back with me.
I lived in Louisiana for 3 years. And It was, and I loved it down there. Nothing against it. Love the seafood, the humidity they could keep. Mm. That's the thing I like about living here.
Yeah.
But I can tell you that there, I have you seen, you know, we have beautiful Navajo Dam.
Yeah.
Lake Navajo. Have you ever seen it when it was so full it was coming over the spillway?
Almost. I think it came over when I was a kid at some point. I don't know if I saw it.
Yeah.
But here just not a couple of years ago, it was up into the spillway. It didn't go over.
Right.
But it was in there. And I actually remember going in there because we would go snagging in the wintertime.
Yes.
Yeah, so we would go. That was a great place to be, although it was like freaking Vietnam with everybody winging treble hooks
around your head.
It was insane.
Yeah.
Just
like bullets flashing.
Like you won the lottery if you didn't get snagged yourself. But yeah, throwing them across that spillway, the entry into the spillway. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, did you hear about the guy that?
That was a long time ago.
Yeah.
That was when I was a kid, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. Rode that spillway down.
Yeah.
Killed him.
Yeah.
I
mean, what the hell, man?
Yeah.
Seriously.
You only live once, right? But I think I saw a picture of the guy. I think he had like a football helmet on. That was it. And a little bitty, I don't know whether it was an inner tube. I don't know. It's not the right stuff to go over that.
No.
That spillway's gigantic.
Yeah.
Just gigantic.
Yeah. It's hard to imagine. When you can see other facilities and other things, so it doesn't look that big, you know, in comparison to the world has shrunk. So it doesn't look that big. But still, when you're on the top of that as a little tiny human.
Yeah. No, I ain't going
following over. A rushing body of water into a flat body of water.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
90
not,
miles an
yeah,
hour.
That's not good.
I don't care if it's water or not. It's going to hurt when it hits. Have you ever jumped off a cliff? I used to jump off the cliffs all the time.
I started doing that to get over.
Diving.
Yeah, I started doing that to get over my fear of heights.
Yeah, me too.
Because I was so afraid of heights.
I still am, but
I kind of am. I need it. I'm not afraid so much as long as it's protected. Like if there's a rail there, a sturdy rail,
right.
I can
too.
Hang on to the rail and look over like, oh, that's kind of cool. I get a little bit queasy or whatever, but I'm not panicking, but I used to panic. And so I started jumping the hell off of cliffs to cure that. Yeah.
You know, when I was the executive with Sears and I went to visit in Chicago and they took us to this warehouse somewhere and it had, we were upstairs, right? And you walked out on this mesh floor.
Mm.
Okay.
No
railing out in the middle, just a big ass mesh floor, right?
Right.
And we go walking across. I'm not paying attention, talking to the boss, right? And all of a sudden, I glance
down.
And I'm like,
pissed your pants.
Oh my god! I stopped dead in my tracks, and I grab my boss's arm. And he just starts laughing. He goes, "I wondered when you would."
No.
He goes, "I did the same exact thing when I first went over this." Because it looks like there's nothing there.
Yeah.
I mean, just oh my god, yeah.
There's somewhere, well, there's probably more than one somewhere, but I've seen videos of a somewhere, might be in one of the Asian countries, but there's this. Like bridge or platform or something that's way the hell up high.
Plexiglass or something.
Yeah, and so it's a glass floor that you're walking across, and it's massively far down. And somebody did a thing. I don't know if it was digital effects or what they were doing, but they did it to where it would crack the floor.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Oh, my God.
People
I would die.
Yeah.
I wouldn't pee my pants. I wouldn't soil my britches. I would die.
Just a little puddle.
Just die.
Yeah. Well, listen, we started the day. This is a great subject. I think it's one that, and I know that, and I don't mind, because I know what you're trying to do with your King Collins Marketing, and I think it's a great idea. I think it's a subject that has not been addressed that much.
Yeah.
And I think it's something that is, especially if you're a young executive trying to make it in the world today.
Yeah.
So how to manage your boss, how to be a boss and manage your people.
Yeah.
I had somebody tell me a long time ago, 90% of my job when I first went to work is, it might have been my dad, told me that, you know, 90% of your job is figuring out how to manage your boss. And
yeah.
And, you know, that is true to a lot, to some extent, but to more of an extent than we really realize.
Yeah. I've heard some clever things. One of the more recent jobs that I was in, the boss there wasn't a bad guy, but he wasn't completely open to new ideas. And one guy that had been working with him forever learned, and he was explaining this to me. He says, I just go in and I start planting little seeds on the thing that we need to do. And eventually he'll finish chewing on those seeds and it'll start to grow as an idea of his own.
Right.
And it'll be his own idea and we're definitely doing it. He's like, that's just how I get things done.
You know, when I was a supervisor, I used to tell my people that I was going to train them to take my job. I want to work myself out of my job. Because I always felt like that, at working for major corporations, and I worked for the world's largest retailer at the time, as a supervisor and a trainer. I guess I did well enough. They sent me along to several stores, and I trained bosses in those stores as well.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I trained salespeople. But it was what I used to tell them is, my job is to have you work me out of my job.
Yeah.
To teach you, to give you the tools that you need. I'm going to give you a tool belt. I'm going to give you all the tools. You need to figure out how to use them to your personality. Can't be me.
Right.
You've got to market into your personality.
Yeah.
So is that kind of what you're talking about? Talk about what you're doing on your shows.
Well, I, of course, being a marketing guy, I work with a bunch of business owners. And
right.
So I started hearing the same things over and over and over and over and over. And just combined with my experience of just working everywhere. I think it's 30 or 31 different jobs for 17 different companies. So a lot of experience. And it's all over the place. So it's tiny, tiny little small businesses to like massive international corporations. And federal government, like DOD, military.
Right.
And city government, and it's just all over the place. So there are good and bad things to all those things, and I'm just the type of person to pick them all apart. So I start hearing things from business owners about they can't find anybody to work. They can't hire anybody, and they can't keep the ones that they have. Everybody's leaving, and they can't hire anybody. And there are some reasons for that, but there are also some fundamental things that people don't do. And that was the biggest thing that drove me crazy after leaving the military, is the military will train you how to do everything.
Right.
I mean everything.
They'll give you all the tools you need.
Yeah. They start off by training you how to fold your freaking underwear.
Yeah.
I mean, when I say everything, I mean everything.
But see, there's reason for that.
There is. Yeah. And so, but it goes all the way up to, how do you supervise people? How do you recognize when an employee of yours may be suicidal? How do you do conflict resolution? Everything.
I never had that training about suicidal.
Yeah, right, suicide prevention training.
Hold that thought. We're going to take a little bit of a break.
Don't touch that dial. Or anything else for that matter. David and Ken are going to break for just a couple of minutes.
This is Julie Blair with Better Homes and Gardens Real Estate Golden Door with your real estate tip of the week. Bedrooms should not sleep. Keep these rooms bright and cheerful. Remove any excess furniture, use attractive and colorful bedspreads or comforters, and have fresh curtains or clean blinds. This has been your real estate tip of the week. Check us out at goldendoorfarmington.com or give us a call at 505-325-4153.
It's Grand Pacific Lux. It's a luxury candle.
Grand Pacific Lux with an E. It's luxury, right?
And GP Grand Pacific, because I live in the Pacific Northwest. And GP are my initials, Ginger Paige. I use name fragrance oils. So the oils that are made all meet the California Prop 65 non-toxic list, meaning there's no chemicals, no phthalates, no carcinogens, nothing that would be dangerous to you to be burning in your home. Grand Pacific Lux, LUXE.com. And that should take you to my Shopify page. So that's what my webpage is.
I need some marketing. Who do you recommend?
Ken Collins Marketing.com.
Well, okay then. I'll probably just get a hold of Ken Collins Marketing.com.
Now that wasn't too long, was it? On with the show.
All right, Ken, we're back. Okay. You know, we have the best conversations.
Off mic?
Off mic, yeah. Well, we're on mic, but it's not recording.
Right.
Well, we were talking about supervisor and training people.
Yeah.
I had guys that sold million dollars in appliances. Uh-huh. And, you know, they would, and then I would have guys come to me that were getting close and making more money than me. Because I was in a supervisory position,
yeah,
and they would say, "Hey, I'm thinking about becoming a supervisor." And my first question, I'd like to get into management. My first question always was, "Do you want to make less money and work more hours?"
Yeah,
because that's what it boils down to.
Yeah,
I fed off of that crap. I loved selling too, yeah. But I fed off of seeing people succeed and do well.
Right.
I had when I worked in Arizona, I had. At one time, I had 60 full commission salespeople working for me. I weeded them out to 40, but did twice the dollar volume and twice the gross margin. So I also concentrated on gross margin because that's where it's at, and that's where you made more money.
Right.
So I had $1 million salesperson when I started there. When I left there, there were $6 million salespeople and 30 people.
Yeah.
And all of them were top-notch salespeople. Yeah. I consider.
Yeah.
A couple of them did go on to management, which I'm proud of the fact that they thought, that's what they wanted to do. But I don't recommend that if you want to make money.
Yeah, I mean,
stock options that you can get money with.
Maybe your motivation's changed and you're fully capable of getting out and going through the hustle and making a crap ton of money. But maybe you don't really want to do the hustle anymore.
No.
You know, and so to get it done. So you just move up into management. You make less money. You work more hours. But you don't have to do the hustle anymore.
Right. It can be as rewarding, too. Yeah. And I used to tell my salespeople, too, the closer you are to the register, the safer your position is. Because they're going to lay off managers before they lay off people that are bringing money in.
Yeah. Yeah. Salespeople. Rule the world.
That's right. But I also understand it can be pressure. I mean, you can go weeks without, selling something. But when I was a salesperson, I always stayed a step ahead. And I did work as many hours as the manager.
Oh, yeah.
Because I wanted to be the number one salesperson. Yeah. So in this day and age, okay, because you kind of touched base on that a minute ago. In this day and age, when you're recruiting somebody, it's hard to find people. And I know they're out there. I mean, my youngest boy is trying to be that way. That's me, man. My youngest boy is trying to be that way.
Yeah.
Hey, you're live on the air with, I don't know who it is. It's potential spam. But you're being recorded. You're live on the air with the Male Encounters of Life Kind. They hung up.
That's how to get rid of scammer spam calls. I'm gonna make up a radio show just for random times when I'm like, because normally I'm yelling at my phone, shut up, and I just make it silent.
You know,
I'll just make up a radio show. You're live on the air with, well, what is that? What is that one? I'm watching Parks and Rec now.
Wink Dickerson.
Somebody in the douche. It was on Parks and Rec. The show Parks and Rec. Yeah.
Oh, there's another thing I do, too, is when they call, you're like, oh, you're the seventh caller, you're the winner, you just won yourself 100 pounds of horse manure to be delivered straight to your door.
Straight to your door. Yeah. Literally, not the driveway. The door.
The door.
We promised the door. We're giving you the door.
And you get that click, you know. And very seldom do they call back. And I also do the Seinfeld thing. Have you done that? Have you seen that episode where you get to telemarketer and the guys in Seinfeld's like, well, I'm a little busy. Give me your home number. I'll call you later.
Yeah.
And the guy's like, well, I don't want to give out my home number. Yeah. I don't want you calling me at home. He goes, my point exactly. You know, hangs up the phone. Now you know how I feel.
Oh, man. When I had more time on my hands in my early 20s, and I'm hanging out in the dorm, the Air Force, I would get those calls, sales calls all the time. Right. And I'm like, whatever, I don't have anything better to do right now. I've got half an hour to kill. So I'll just start asking all kinds of questions. And so I'd keep them on the phone, like just stringing them along forever, just asking questions. And finally, when I just can't think of any more questions to ask, and they're really pressuring on, they're so excited now, they're creaming their jeans, they're like, oh my God, I got this one. I'm like, I'm not really interested. And I would hang up.
You know, I have done one, I did one, this has been a few years ago when they were pretty heavy. I did one where did you get this number? And they would, you know, they would give some kind of, do you realize this is a highly classified phone number you're calling top secret?
Yeah.
So it's agency, blah, 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 you know. And they'd be like, click. But anyway, one of my favorite things to do, though, when Hayden was like 3-4 years old, loved being on the phone, man. I mean, he loved to talk. Thought maybe it was grandma or grandpa, right?
Yeah.
So they would call and I'd say, hold. They would say, are you so-and-so? I'd say, no, hold on just a second. I'd hand the phone to him.
Yeah.
Grandma, grandma. You have a Worked like a champ.
Just let a kid chat their ear off.
Yeah.
Till they get annoyed enough to hang up.
That's right.
Can you put your daddy on the phone?
All right. So we're talking about the workplace management and also.
Yeah. I mean. So here's what I saw. Here's what I saw when I left the military 10 years, and that's long enough to develop like a person.
I
was developed as a person. Like I had definite ideas of how shit should be done when I came out. And so then I entered the civilian.
Are you trying to tell me you had your shit together?
Yeah, I did. Then I entered the civilian workforce and it was pure and utter anarchy.
Chaos.
It was chaos.
Yeah.
I could not understand how anyone got anything done ever. It was utter chaos. So now that I've calmed down, now that I'm past my 20s and calmed down a little bit, I pick things apart more. But what I've seen is rarely do people get like supervisory training or management training. If you work for a corporation, you know, a national corporation or something like that, they usually have programs in place for that.
So
because they understand.
Really big about,
yeah.
I mean,
they understand the importance of that stuff. But a lot of the people I work with, I don't work with those kinds of people. So they're just business owners. They decided, I know how to do this thing really well. I'm going to start a business. They start a business, and they're like, oh, wow, I need people to help me. And they bring in people, and then they put them in supervisory positions. They put them in management positions as they're, like, growing.
Mm-hmm.
And these people don't know. It's not their fault, but they don't know how to supervise people. They don't. Some of them do it right. Some of them do it wrong. But none of them have had any guidance. And so that's a huge problem that I've seen.
And I think, and what you're trying to do with Ken's Collins Marketing is address that, I think. It looks like you had a quote from one of the people, one of your guests, and we won't say names unless you just want to, but I love the quote about the ripple effect.
Yeah, it's Randy. So Randy Large, we've had him on the show.
Mm-hmm.
He talks about influence. And that it's such a huge thing that people might know subconsciously, but they don't realize it consciously. You have no choice in the matter that you, for a fact, influence every situation.
Everyone
it doesn't matter who
with.
You are.
Yeah.
You have influence in every situation. Every situation, everything that you say, everything that you do, everything you don't say, everything you don't do, especially if you're a leader, a business owner, a manager or something like that, your absence has influence over the environment that you're absent from.
Exactly.
Because it's felt. And so there's influence there. So once you realize that you cannot control the fact that you influence everything, you need to realize and take responsibility for the type of influence you put out into the world. Just the world in general. We're not even talking about workplaces, because it doesn't matter. You go to the grocery store and you're influencing people in the grocery store. So, so if you're a supervisor, manager, leader, business owner, whatever it is, you especially need to realize that you're influencing everything. If you show up mad to work every day because these sons of bitches won't do any work, you're creating a really negative workplace. And they're going to respond. All of your employees are going to respond in a negative manner.
I used to tell all my salespeople this, and I live my life this way to this day. When you wake up in the morning, you have two choices.
Yeah.
Two choices, period. We could go into a multitude, but it boils down to two choices. You can either be happy all day, or you can be disgruntled, pissed off, whatever, all day. So you have to decide what you want to be. And I can guarantee you, you're going to, whatever you decide to be, you're like a magnet. You're going to pull that to you. You're going to pull all the negative to you if you come out, if you decide to be pissed off all day.
Yeah.
Or you're going to pull all the positive to you if you decide you're going to be.
Yeah.
You know. And I used to, there was another thing I used to tell myself too, because, you know, in management, it's never easy.
No.
Especially when you're working in retail, because you got employees, you got bosses above you, and then you have customers.
Yes.
And Sears,
and they're
was,
the worst.
Yeah, Sears, Sears was a satisfaction guarantee, and that interpretation of that, it's broad, man. It's broad.
Sadly, customers are the worst ever.
When I was in management with Sears, the big thing that I'd say to myself in the mirror every morning while I was shaving, nobody is going to piss me off today.
Yeah.
And then, you know what? It worked.
Yeah.
It worked. I mean, I would have the customers come in screaming at me for something or another, and I'd be like, I'm so sorry. Let's see if we can do to fix it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Boss, same way. Screaming at me because one of my employees did it, pulled a blunder. I'm like, what can we do to fix it? Let's see what he can do to fix it.
Yeah.
Help me help you.
Yeah. I actually spent a bunch of time doing that. I had a team of people when I was working in Jacksonville it was an international staffing company is what I was working for. And we were working in the IT department. So I had this team of people, four or five people. And they're my team. And so I'm supporting them. I'm giving them every opportunity to just nail it. And they were massively talented people. But not all of them were great at working, especially. It's probably true in a bunch of other industries, but especially IT people, like there's just a crap ton of knowledge that we have in our head.
Yes.
And so when some person is coming and harping at us about IT and we're like, dude, you don't even know what you're talking about. You're an idiot right now. Seriously. But that's not the right attitude. Right. No. So,
especially if it's a customer.
I know. to keep my team away from that, We were basically like a third level help desk. So there was the help desk, and then there was a second level help desk for all of the technical, like really technical stuff that the regular help desk nuts couldn't figure out. There was beyond their capability. They would go to the second level help desk. We were the third level help desk. We were like God level knowledge. When you get to us, like you've been through the ringer of people that just have. They have no idea how to help you. And so you're super pissed off.
So you're the ones that part those
C's. Yeah. So by the time you get to us, you're super pissed.
Right.
You've been transferred and transferred, and no one seems to know what the hell they're doing. And you're like, ugh. And so you're super aggravated, and you would get a hold of us. And so a lot of times my team would just do great with that. But they were pre-informed by me that, hey, I don't want you dealing with that stuff. If you cannot immediately relax someone over the phone and deal with the issue at hand, pass them to me. Just pass them straight to me. If somebody from higher up is coming and harping at you, tell them they need to talk to me.
Right.
So I was the guy. I'm just insulating them from customers and bosses.
Yep.
You guys just be happy and kill it because you're killing it. Just kill it.
Yep.
And I will take care of all the problems. And oh God, I was built for it, man. I love it. I loved it.
There is something about it.
Yeah,
said
yeah.
It. Well, listen, man, this show's going a lot faster than I even expected. We're already into another break. So.
Holy cow.
Yeah, it's yeah, exactly what I right? thought, too, when I looked at it. Like, way over time. Yeah. This might be a little bit longer show. We
yeah.
may have to make it a two-parter, because when I come back,
maybe,
I want to
yeah.
talk about being an employee
yeah.
versus being a boss, because right. now I am an employee.
Right.
And I want to talk about it, because right. you've got to learn how to manage your boss.
Yeah, yeah, you do.
Yeah, let's talk about that one.
Okay.
Got to take a pause for the cause. Funny. I've always wanted to say that. Sit tight. David and Ken will return before you know it.
I'm Celeste. I'm the bartender at Traeger's Bar here in Farmington. Our hours are Wednesday through Saturday, 4 to 11 on Wednesday and Thursday, and then 4 to midnight on Friday and Saturday. We usually have live music on the weekends. We're always doing something. We've got somebody here, or, you know, we're just having a good time. So, website is traegersbar.com. Here at Traeger's, it's always pinkies down, thumbs up.
All right, well, I'm talking today with Tammy. Gosh, Tammy, what's happening in Encore Coffee Shop?
So, first of all, we have a new baker. She is amazing. She also has her own business. It's Aztec River Roots. She bakes in our kitchen. Her name is Winter, and her daughter's name is Valley, and they are the most phenomenal bakers. Very unique things like blue corn raspberry muffins, a lemon blueberry swirl pound cupcake, serving paninis at lunchtime also with our sandwiches that we have, and we're going to start serving breakfast sandwiches. 315 North Auburn, Farmington, New Mexico. EncoreCoffeeShop.com.
Interwest Concepts is the only place in the world for podcast production. Okay, too far. But you can check some of them out for yourself. There's Female Encounters of the Life Kind, its counterpart, Male Encounters of the Life Kind, Reclaiming Culture with AJ Begay, and of course, the flagship that started it all, the infamous Wake Up Call. Check out our webpage, interwestconcepts.com.
There, see, the back. Bladders emptied, personalities refreshed.
All right, we're back.
We are back.
You know, there's a vast multitude that, and if people will email us, mailencounters.livekind@gmail.com, we'd be more than happy to answer any of their questions.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
you'll be more than happy to help them with marketing.
Oh, definitely.
I'll be more than happy to help them with any kind of management questions that they have. But I want to do it from the standpoint, because now I'm basically an employee.
Yeah.
And I love what I do. Otherwise, I wouldn't be doing it. But I love it. You know, I really, I do. So there is an art to managing your boss as well, right? And without them knowing it, you know, you have to be kind of careful. And that doesn't mean you got to kiss ass, because I had people kiss my ass and just irritated
it's annoying.
The crap out of me.
Yeah.
Don't kiss my ass.
Right.
You know, matter of fact, every time one of my employees would come in and start kissing my ass and be like, you know what, hit the floor.
Yeah.
Don't talk to me. Change your attitude, and then we can talk.
Yeah. It's pretty transparent.
Or put it in an email.
Yeah, you know? There we go. It's harder to kiss ass in an email.
But there is ways, and I don't want to use manipulate, but there is ways that you work your boss.
Sure.
And it all boils down to attitude.
Yeah, if you know your boss's personality and their motivations.
Got to figure out their motivation first of all.
Then you can put things in front of them that appeal to those values, their motivations, their things. And they may actually pick them up and run with them as their own ideas.
Right. Which is fine with me. I don't need any credit.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not trying to win an award for most creative idea. I just want this done.
I have told, when I was in sales before, I've said the same. I don't want that job. I've had that job.
Yeah.
You can have that job. I don't want that job. Just tell me what I can do to help you.
Yeah.
Help me help you.
Yeah.
Help me help you help me.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing.
But
that's not being kiss ass. That means if you're working for a corporation, you want that corporation to succeed.
Yeah.
They're putting money in your pocket. The first foremost thing you have to remember is who's signing your paycheck.
Yeah.
And I think we have a tendency, or not we, but I think some of our society today, I don't think those values were instilled upon a lot of the kids today.
Yeah. Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah. Part of my training program that I'm putting together is setting clear expectations.
Perfect.
And setting goals for all of your employees to meet or exceed, right? So set expectations, set goals. Because what I continue to hear is things like retorts from employees going, yeah, but I show up on time every single day.
Great.
And then your answer is, as a boss is like, yeah, that's why I pay you.
That's right.
I mean, what do you're not getting a freaking reward for doing the thing, the minimum possible thing that you could do to get your stupid paycheck. I mean, seriously.
You know,
so
one of the things that I hear, too, is like, I'm always 30 minutes early.
Yeah.
And now I'm an hour early because I want to get prepared. And I'm on salary, so it doesn't really matter. I understand being an hourly associate, right?
Right.
It's been a long time since I've been an hourly associate.
Right.
But you should always be, if you're to be at work at 8 o'clock, that is not the time. If they tell you you're working 8 to 5,
right,
what would you think you'd be? When would you be there?
Not you rolling it at 8.
No.
No.
You,
right.
8 o'clock means you're on the floor ready to go to work.
Yeah.
You're there ready to work 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
So that doesn't mean you get there at 8 o'clock and you put your stuff up and you do your makeup or you brush your teeth or whatever. You
know,
get your hair fixed up. You frou-frou.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, be ready to go.
As an employee, I was that way all the time.
Yeah.
All the time. And as a boss, I was always the first one there and the last one to leave.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's difficult as a boss.
Yeah.
Especially when you have a business that's open from 10 in the morning to 10 at night.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So there were times when I wasn't always the last to leave, but I was always the first one there, always, without fail.
Yeah.
Because that's just my nature.
The job, there's a lot of ways to look at this, but the job, the purpose of employees, the purpose of your employees are to make your life easier.
Right. And that's, be profitable.
That's their purpose. Mm-hmm. They need to make your life easier. And again, there's lots of ways to look at that and to interpret that. But that's really what it boils down to.
It is.
And you as an employee will prosper and succeed if you continually work to make your boss's life easier.
Yep. I agree.
Yeah.
And you will always be the first one they think of when it comes time for either promotion or raise, or you're going to be the first one on their in their mind.
Yeah.
And that's not by kissing
their
ass. That's
no.
by that's doing
by
your job.
Ass.
You know,
yeah.
Yeah, doing your job to the best of your ability.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I used to tell people all the time, 90% of my job is to make to make your job easier.
Right. Most of my work experience has been my boss is not really knowing what I'm doing. They just know I'm busting ass.
Yeah.
Because why? They never have to check on me. They never have to ask me to do anything.
You don't do the
they
George
never have
Stanza
to...
thing where you're looking there, throwing your arms up and looking pissed all the time.
Right. But yeah, they know, well, they learn. Once they've hired me, the best bet is to just stand back. Stand back and give me the room.
We don't know how big this thing's going
to
get.
Yeah, and give me the room to do the job that I'm going to do. And so I've always done that, and I've always excelled. Like, everywhere I've always been, like, massive success. Just excel, excel, excel. Promotions, raises, the whole bit. And that's because that's just how I approach it. It doesn't matter the job that I'm doing. I'm just going to – no one's going to have to ask me to do anything. No one's going to have to check in on me. No one's going to have to do anything. I need to understand what the job is, and then I'm going to do that, and I'm going to start expanding on it. And
And that's the way it should be, honestly. Well, listen, Ken, I think this is a great subject, and I think maybe, you know, we ought to look at it again maybe next year.
Yeah.
And have guys like Randy on again and talk about that particular thing, because in the workforce, and this is not just for men. I mean, it is a male show, but this is women, too. I mean, I had...
Yeah.
Somebody told me a long time ago, there are two types of women in the workplace. They're either really, really good, and they're going to show you up every time, or they're really, really bad. And I hate to say it, and I don't want to buttonhole, but that's the way it's been. I had a woman supervisor that was probably the best boss I could ever ask for.
Yeah.
You know, she trained me. She gave me the longitude, the latitude, whatever I needed to get the job done.
Yeah.
Period. And that is a good boss. It matters not whether you're female or male.
Yeah,
it makes
that doesn't
no
matter.
Difference.
No. Yeah.
I know there are some men that just refuse to respect the fact of a woman in power. I don't have a problem with it.
No, I don't either. It is more difficult for women, and it's not for the reasons people would think. It's that men are generally more disagreeable.
Yes.
And women are generally less disagreeable. In order to move yourself up in a world where you're the boss, the manager, the department head, the whatever, you need to be disagreeable. You do. That's the people who are leading shit and running shit are disagreeable people. You can't tell them anything. You're not going to make them compromise on shit. They're going to disagree with your sorry ass. Shut up and do your job. And women generally have a harder time doing that. And that's also why that women who are in power are typically referred to as ball busters.
Yep.
Because they're even viewed differently. Like, they're doing the same thing a man would do, but it's coming from a woman. That's freaking unnatural. What the hell? You know? It's weird.
Took them forever to get equal pay, which is another thing that I fought for way back in the 70s. I was fighting for that. Because I had women working for me then that were stellar.
Yeah.
Absolutely stellar.
Yeah.
All right. Man, we killed 44 minutes.
Holy crap.
I know. It's a great subject. I think it's something we probably should bring some other men in next year.
Oh, I could bore the crap out of you for hours with this.
Yeah. Well, me too. Been there, done that, got the T-shirt.
Yeah.
All right, brother. Well, listen, thanks. Great. The dinner was great.
Yes.
The drinks have been wonderful. We did say we were at Traeger's.
Traeger's.
We talked about what we had. All right. Thank you again. Have a good, got any last words, man?
No.
Okay, I will say this. This I learned a long time ago, but I don't know that I followed it all the time. Never dip your pen in the company inkwell.
That's true.
Hasta la vista.
Bye.
Bye, Felicia.